from the Cyber Hub bunker in studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Top of the morning, security gang. Happy Monday and welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. Great to be with all of y'all this morning, Monday, March 11th, 2024. A busy weekend and a packed show today. A lot of stories around the geopolitical impact that's really playing a direct, it's impacting the decision-making we have to make as practitioners. And here's how I'll explain this. Number one, geopolitics drives cybersecurity as a general rule of thumb, because it's the type of warfare where you can't always pinpoint where the missile came from, meaning where the attack came from. You kind of approximate, you can wonder, but because there's no dead bodies, there's very little impact on the back end of this. And that's why it's huge. And that's why we constantly, as practitioners, have to be very aware of what's going on in that realm. We'll be all over that on this morning's show. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you for tuning in. In around 15 minutes, we're going to try to get you updated with everything that's the latest and greatest and impactful for cybersecurity practitioners. You can subscribe to our podcast anywhere you like to get your podcast: Google, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Twitch, LinkedIn, Instagram. By the way, we're banned from streaming on Facebook for the next 30 days until April 6th. So Facebook can jump in, you know. I'm sorry for all of y'all. Anyone on Facebook who's not getting the show, we've done a few posts. Go to YouTube, go to Twitch, go to LinkedIn or X, where we're not being censored for saying the truth. So with that being said, let's go ahead and kick off this morning's show. Join me for a double espresso this morning. Coffee cup cheers. Let's kick off this Monday, this week. Oh, let's go. All right. Here we go, y'all. Microsoft is saying the attack that they experienced by the Russians actually did have significant impact on the company, saying that source code has been stolen, as well as some customer secrets. All in all, this is an ongoing attack for Microsoft. It's using information initially exfiltrated from the corporate email systems to gain or attempt to continue to gain unauthorized access. So Microsoft is not new to this type of attack. When SolarWinds happened, we knew that their source code was compromised. We knew that they had an incident response plan that they literally custom built for that type of event. They wrote the book on it. I have a whole thing on Substack called the Microsoft Doctrine. It was one of the most read stories in cybersecurity. It's essentially the idea of transparency and incident response that Microsoft crafted as a response to SolarWinds, because really they were the number one victim of the SolarWinds breach. Now here we're seeing that there's no evidence that Microsoft hosted customer facing systems had been compromised, although some customer information was compromised that was available in the email systems of executives. And that's very, very important to understand. So they weren't able to get into your Azure or Office 365 environment, if as many of you are Microsoft shops. However, if there was an issue ongoing with Microsoft executive leadership where some of your information may have been shared, billing, IT issues, infrastructure challenges, stuff like that, that entire data has been compromised, according to people we've spoken with at Microsoft. They've discovered that the exfiltrated email they've seen and are reaching out to these customers to assist in taking mitigating measures, the company said. They're warning password spraying attacks have increased or seeing large volumes of that already last month. This attack is being attributed to the Russians. The Russians were also behind the significant attack on SolarWinds. And so we're kind of seeing Russia really go after Microsoft, realizing that Microsoft is the key to a lot of businesses and government organizations in the United States and across Europe. And being that they've got such a monopoly on essentially enterprise type software, they're a big target on their backs. So this is significant. We'll keep you appraised as to the situation here, but Microsoft definitely reeling from this one and continues to work to mitigate these attacks. Again, this is an ongoing attack on Microsoft. I'm not trying to exaggerate something. This isn't an idea, but because they were able to get in, because they've by the time Microsoft discovered this, by the time Microsoft disclosed this, and it could have been that Microsoft knew this was a material breach, because within 4 days of discovering it, they reported it as a material breach, even though they didn't give all the information because of the SEC disclosures. Now they're given a lot more information. And so this remains, again, once we get the full facts, we'll be able to really pass judgment. But right now, this is an ongoing attack, and brush up your incident response books, y'all. This is going to be a doozy going into this year, as we wrap up the first quarter and go into second and the rest of this year. CISA was forced to take two systems offline last month after the multiple Avanti 0 days that caused a compromise. Hackers breached the systems of CISA in February through vulnerabilities in the Avanti product, according to officials. A spokesperson confirmed to Recorded Future News that the agency identified activity indicating the exploitation of vulnerabilities in Avanti products the agency uses about a month ago, and this could be why they said rip it out. The impact was limited to two systems, which they immediately took offline. They continue to upgrade and modernize their infrastructure. There's no operational impact at this time. This is a reminder that any organization can be affected by a cyber vulnerability, and having an incident response plan in place is a necessary component of resiliency. CISA declined to answer a range of questions about who was behind the attack, whether any data was accessed or stolen, and what systems were taken offline. Avanti, for their end, I don't see how they recover from this one. I'm not wishing them ill, but as many of you know, if you've watched the show previously, you've seen my coverage on this. Avanti has been a significant headache for many. I don't see how they regain government business, and that was a big part of their business, was this government business, and having been ripped out and replaced by different ones, they're not coming back. And anyone in hardware will tell you, the moment they rip you out, you're not coming back in. You've essentially lost, and Avanti's lost here. So the financial impact to Avanti will be seen here probably in the next several months, where we're likely to see layoffs. We're likely to see them downgrade. We're going to see how they recover from this one, and so forth. But CISA, now the latest victim for Avanti. In other news, a U.S. Army intelligence analyst was arrested on Thursday of last week for allegedly providing national defense information to the Chinese. Sergeant Corbain Schultz, who held a top secret security clearance, was taken into custody at Fort Campbell in Kentucky, Tennessee, in the Kentucky-Tennessee border, according to Justice Department. Schultz's indictment did not identify the country he was supplying information to, but the press reported it as China. He was allegedly paid $42,000 by a contact in Hong Kong to provide documents, maps, and photographs relating to U.S. national defense. The Justice Department said it included information about a potential U.S. plan in the event that Taiwan came under military attack. It also included documents related to fighter aircraft and helicopters, hypersonic equipment, and high-mobility artillery rocket systems, and studies about the U.S. and Chinese military. On Friday, the Chinese were asked about it, as well as, if you recall, we talked about a case where a Chinese national who worked for Google in the United States on a visa was accused of stealing AI secrets and selling them over to the Chinese. So all of those now have significant impact on the U.S. military as China continues to infiltrate the ranks. And this one betrayed his country and his oath for $42,000. When you ask yourself about insider threat, and if you're saying it's not an impact for my business, I'd say someone who understood the consequences of their action, took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, did treason. And for treason, there's consequences. He sold out his country and 350 million Americans for $42,000. So just keep that in mind on insider threats. This leads to an increase of pressure in the Congress and Senate on an election year to really take some significant action, one, against data brokers who are selling data internationally to the Russian, Chinese, Europeans, and other markets, as well as TikTok. So the House Energy and Commerce Committee on Thursday approved two significant data privacy bills, one that would force TikTok to separate from its Chinese ownership, something that President Trump, when he was in office, tried to do and then was blocked. And then the other one, or be stripped from the app stores if it can't separate its Chinese ownership. The second would block data brokers from selling or transferring America's data to foreign adversaries. This should be a bill that goes up immediately for a vote, gets put in, and gets enforced no later than January 1st of next year. The second bill would give the FTC the authority to levy civil penalties of up to $50,000 each time a company violates that ban. I'd say you got to throw in that executive leadership in order for this law to really have impact. If you don't, then it won't, and they'll just pay the $50,000 because it's the cost of doing business. Civil Liberties Group condemned the TikTok bill, saying it threatens freedom of speech. No, it doesn't. TikTok is a psyop by the Chinese. We know that because TikTok in China is completely different from the TikTok they sell to Europe and the U.S. I don't have TikTok. I know people who do. I know many parents who have taken my advice in the last 5 months and have stopped their children from accessing TikTok. TikTok is a poison pill. Should not be allowed in the U.S., not under Chinese leadership or Chinese ownership in any sort of way. It should either be banned and dismantled, or it should be sold to, and President Trump almost had it sold to Oracle. Oracle was leading the bid to take over TikTok when everything there was stopped. So we'll see if this clears the Senate. Again, China's going to put in a whole bunch of stuff. This is an election year, but I think the people want it. And if you are in favor of this, please reach out to your elected official in Congress and Senate and let them know, pass this bill. That's one action there. Duval Mordgreat Brewery was hit with a ransomware attack late last night, bringing to halt the beer production in the company's bottling facilities. Duval is a Belgian beer brand best known for its strong and fruity golden pale ale bearing the same name. The brewery makes other popular Abbey beers such as Vedette, Mardisios, and La Chouffe that are enjoyed all over the world. Earlier today, a spokesperson for the company told local media that their automated threat detection system flagged the ransomware attack at around 1:30 a.m. last night. The IT department became aware of the ransomware attack and shut everything down. They did say, "We have enough beer to continue to supply the world with it in their warehouse. So no one worry, no beer shortage there. They'll recover and move on." They didn't clarify how many of their facilities were impacted by it. CISA over on Thursday and Friday of last week laid out key actions for securing open source software following a two-day OSS security summit where it convened with community leaders. CISA will take steps that CISA will take in the partnership with the community includes promoting the principles for package repository security, a framework outlining security maturity levels for package repositories, and a new effort to enable collaboration and information sharing with open source software infrastructure operators. This is specifically going at PyPI and so many others to try and create some stuff with GitLab and Google Cloud and ActiveState and API and related tools for malware reporting and response are also planned as part of this. Multi-factor authentication is now required for maintainers of high impact NPM projects. A lot of have come out from this event specifically. How much of it will be adopted? How much of it will be implemented? And how easy will it be to convert this to action items that you can do in your business still remains to be seen. I'm going to do a deep dive on this. I'll likely put something on Substack. Not this week, unfortunately. I'll be traveling for the rest of this week, but potentially next week. I'll try to put my butt down on a chair and get you all the information there. If you're a Fortinet customer, there's over 150,000 Fortinet FortiOS and FortiProxy secure web gateways that are now vulnerable due to CVE-2024-21762, a critical security issue that allows executing code without authentication. CISA confirmed last month that attackers are actively exploiting the flaw by adding it to its KEV catalog. Almost a month after Fortinet addressed this, still, 150,000 devices remain vulnerable. Shadow servers Piotr Kajwiski, told Bleepy Computer that their scans check for vulnerable versions, so the number of affected devices may be lower if admins applied mitigation instead of upgrading. A remote attacker could exploit this by sending a specially crafted HTTP request to vulnerable machines. Many of these are in the United States, followed by India, Brazil, and Canada. At the top, China also on this list, as well as Italy, Turkey, France, and so many others. So you want to make sure you get these devices patched or mitigated ASAP. And QNAP is warning of vulnerabilities in its NOS software products, including QTS, QTS Hero, QTS Cloud, and My QNAP Cloud, that could allow attackers to access the devices. The Taiwanese network-attached storage device maker disclosed three vulnerabilities that can lead to an authentication bypass, command injection, and SQL injection. The CVEs 2024-21899, 21900, and 21901. These have all been fixed with these latest patches, and you can find all of this in our show notes. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, with all the latest and greatest. Until then, thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks so much for watching. Please make sure to subscribe. Most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.